You've just landed inside Launch Street, the innovation podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate and differentiate
and get further faster in this crazy cluttered world.
And now, innovation thought leader
and your super fly host,
Tamara Kleinberg.
I'm super excited for today. This is someone that I have known and admired for a very long time, and now we have her on our podcast, on our interview. So this is Chris Chopiak. So what does she really do, one might ask? She is an entrepreneur, visual strategist, and facilitator that inspires growth through integrating her kick-ass facilitation skills, which I've seen them, they are kick-ass, with strategy and innovation for businesses, institutions, and NGOs all over the world. And that is true. She just got back from a trip that took 34 hours to get there. So she's everywhere. Over the past 20 years, Chris has brought clarity and focus to the challenges facing institutions across the planet with a passion for diversity, learning, leadership, and working with teams of all kinds. So what makes her different, you might ask? Chris and her company, Arlisol, visualize innovation. Visualize innovation. I just want to say that again because it's not something you hear together. Using something called strategic illustration to mobilize people to action. She literally draws pictures that reflect the business goals, objectives, and actions people want to take to strive and succeed in their business. So Chris, thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you so much for having me. And I'm like, wow, I do all of that.
It's amazing. I'm amazing. I'll just go around the globe with you and introduce you. That'll be my new job.
Perfect.
I like it.
Yeah.
So I know because you and I know each other and I know the power of what you do, but let's back up for a second because, it's not a title you see on everybody's email signature. How did you become an expert in visual strategy or visualize innovation as you talk about?
Yeah. So it's a good question. Strategy and strategic is one of my top strengths through the Gallup StrengthsFinder. So I've been doing strategic for a long, long time. When I look back, even like some of my first jobs, I was plotting out like, what am I going to do first? And then where am I going to go? 11, 12.
You're the girl with the plan.
Exactly. And so that planning piece comes very naturally. The visual part is a little bit different. I was totally blessed at those times in our lives when we need a tap on the shoulder and somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, I think you could do this. And I was at a place in my life where I was like, you know what? Actually, I think I could, which was kind of crazy because I never really have drawn.
Yeah.
But I think visually. So it was really that tap on the shoulder, a couple people taking me under their wing, and then actually practice. So I get a lot of people say, I can't draw. And I was like, yeah, I know, me either. They're like, but wait, like you,
but
did
you
that.
Just did.
Yeah. And so that's the visual strategy. And then the last part was 2013. I got invited to write a book about it. And so that really helped me gather a lot of cognitive brain research, cool, nerdy stuff to kind of back up why this works for humans and why it works in business and how do you use it.
So let's talk a little bit about that because drawing sounds in some ways scary. I can't draw, and in some ways simplistic. Like, what do you mean you draw strategy and ideas? And so let's dig a little bit deeper in that. Why is that so powerful? And what are you really doing there?
So there's a couple of things. So physically what I'm doing, typically I'm working with a team or a group of people, or, I have an opportunity this spring to actually work with 1200 people in a room. Yeah. To listen, ask questions, and then synthesize, that happens all right here, synthesize what they're saying and try and make meaning by doing it visually. So one of my colleagues says, I'm up at a board, I have a big piece of white paper, I have my pen in my hand, and the information comes through my back and it comes through my fingertips onto that marker. And with as little filter as possible, I'm trying to capture the essence of both what is being said. So synthesizing what's actually being said in the room and the energy, the feeling.
Right, what it really means.
Exactly. What's being, the meaning making that's happening in the room. So that sounds kind of esoteric, but you can, if you've experienced it before or you haven't, you can imagine person up in front and they're kind of drawing. And what am I drawing? I'm drawing words. I'm drawing cartoon type pictures, and I'm drawing, I'm using color to organize information and to be able to help visualize that meaning. So it's really, it is simple drawings. I'm not doing a Rembrandt, you know, I'm not trying to make a piece of art like behind me, super abstract. You know, I am taking people's ideas and I'm taking a few icons and these words that are anchors, and I'm using them to actually visualize what they're talking about. And sometimes that's really, you know, people are really organized and it's very clean and specific. Sometimes people don't know what they're saying.
Right.
It's normal, you know?
That happens to me all the time. So Chris, let me just clarify for people, for people in our community, you kind of have two parts of your business. One is being that facilitator leader and bringing it together for people as you're working through strategy, strategic planning. I always think of you as a problem solver. Like every conversation we've had, I've always been really impressed at your ability to say, yeah, no, I know you called me about that, but here's what I think we really need to talk about. So good and bad, I suppose, but I think it's actually great. Like, more people need to do that. We'd probably get further in our personal and business lives. But so that's on one hand, right? That facilitation of it. And then on the other hand, do you still teach people to also do this skill themselves too?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think that there's a couple of things that I learned from writing the book, but that we're getting more and more information about how the brain works and how people learn. And so one of the most interesting facts is that between the ages of 0 and 3, before we start speaking, before we actually learn language, our brain obviously is processing tons and tons of information, but it's doing it through shape and color. And so we all have the capacity to think visually. What happens is somebody takes a pen and says, Chris, pen, and we start attaching words to things. There's no reason why they couldn't say pen. You know, it's not a plug. So the thing is we all have that capacity to think visually. And if we unleash ourselves through doodling, by taking a class, by getting in a environment where we're really encouraged to think and draw at the same time, we actually become very facile at it. So, you know, people are like, oh, I can only do stick figures. I'm like, that's a perfect place to start.
That's all you need.
Exactly. And then here's the other thing about, I do teach. So we teach classes, you know, 2 or 3 times a year here in Colorado, sometimes in Europe. But the thing that's really interesting about the imagery and those icons is that they're frequently universal. So when I see a little stick figure, I haven't encountered anybody on the planet that goes, what is that? It's like almost everybody knows that it's a person.
That's a person.
So, right, so this great guy who helped found this whole graphic recording or strategic illustration field, David Sibbett, he says, whatever you draw, it only has to look 30% like what it means in the context of that conversation. So I think that's why we have some of these universal pictures that are super easy to draw that we learn as kids. House, you know, it's a square with a triangle on top.
Yeah, right.
I mean, yeah, and everybody around the world goes, oh yeah, that's a house. Oh yeah, that's a person. And so that's where I think that, I do the facilitation, but I love teaching people because, you know, we get through a 2-day class and at the end, people stand back and look at their own work. And they're so incredibly satisfied and pleased that they could go from drawing just vertical lines to actually creating a whole master plan about how they're going to use visuals in their work going forward. And I think it can transform people. It transforms groups and how we think about it. And it's such a useful tool as a leader and an entrepreneur.
I want to dig into this a little bit because I've seen your work in action and I've seen how people... there's this higher level of understanding of what everyone's buying into, the decisions that are made, the ideas that are being brought forward when it's brought in kind of this strategic illustration in this visual format. So talk a little bit about why that is and how that works to forward your business, your ideas, whatever it is, because it's so different than a 10-page strategic plan or you know, the thing you stick on the wall that's like 10 bullet points.
Yeah, exactly. So the first thing that happens is that as a group is kind of processing and figuring out, yeah, this is our vision. Maybe we need to change our purpose, or, and here's our objectives, or we need a new set of objectives. With someone drawing that, there's a couple things that happen in the room. First of all, it provides a focal point for the group. So it doesn't mean they don't pay attention to you, the talker, but they look at the ideas as it is emerging. And as those ideas emerge, it generates more ideas amongst the group that is in the room. So all of a sudden I'm building on your idea. So when we talk, when you mentioned earlier, you know, here's why we came together, but I think is that that's really what happens visually is I can say, wow, that tree, and let's talk about the apples for a minute, or let's talk about the fertilizer, the ground, or the nutrients that tree needs. If that tree is our business, how are we going to keep it fuel? If that tree is our business, what are we going to do with the apples when they fall to the ground? All of a sudden, this metaphor and these images start allowing the group to build on each other. And so the drawing continues to get richer and even more loaded, if you will, with the meaning we're making as we're creating it. So what happens in that situation, number one, in your brain is starting to use both left and right brain thinking. So I'm using sequence. I'm saying, okay, here's where we were. Here's where we want to go. So there's a sequence to that. But that random chaotic part of the right brain is actually saying, but yeah, what if you do this? And what if you see this? And can we picture this? And when you use those two parts of your brain, first of all, you're rarely bored. Okay, you're highly stimulated. You are highly engaged. And that pretty much goes for everybody in the room. There's even people who are like, oh, I don't need that drawing thing. And then I get finished and they're like, oh my God, that was like the coolest.
Wait a minute. That was awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
The process is also so much more creative feeling that I think it probably unleashes a little more stretch thinking in people than if you're doing things the traditional format.
Yeah, exactly. And then to your last point, which is kind of the quick and dirty. So here I have those beautiful... I have a friend of mine calls it a plan on a page. So I have one page. It's visually pleasing to look at. It's easy to talk to. Here we started. Here's where we ended. This is where we're going. And it's so much easier to get people to agree on an image versus those 10 bullet points.
Right.
So I can save time. We can all agree that our business, our startup is a tree. And it doesn't matter how you interpret that tree or how I interpret the tree, because all the ways we interpret it together make it right. So we can just get on with doing business. We can get on with whatever our plan is, the execution, a new product rollout, a new way to think about and talk about our business, a new service. It just accelerates the execution and the implementation, not the, wow, what do we call it time.
Right. And the debate over words, because ironically, right, even though they've got definitions, they're so subjective in how we use them that people tend to, my experience has been that people tend to nitpick them to death when we're really saying the same thing. At the end of the day, we just have our anchors in different words. That's all.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So your organization, you talk about inspires growth through visual strategy. So what does that mean?
Yeah. So when we're in our sweet spot working with clients, most of our clients come to us because either something's holding them back in the marketplace or they have a new idea that they're trying to launch. And so and they're inspired and they want to grow. So whatever that means to an organization, you know, our first gateway is to figure out what does that mean for you? What does success mean for you? And how can we help support that? The strategy piece is that we need in business, especially small business, we need focus.
Yeah.
Because the world's our oyster. We could do anything. And so to be able to bring some focus to whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, that growth you're trying to accomplish, then we can interweave the different visuals and facilitation approaches and interactivity. You know, if it's a big group, then we can figure out really engaging and interactive ways to actually pull out that information from the group that's not just all talk, talk, talk.
Right. You know, it's so interesting that you say that. So just two quick examples to share is one is, you know, I'm president of association this year here in Colorado, and we created one like a visual map for where we're headed and what our focus is. And it has been our guidepost, our lighthouse, whatever you want to call it, this entire year. And we pull it out at every meeting. We all have one at our desk. At least that's what they tell me, because everybody, you know, we all work separately. So I'm just going to assume they all have it.
Exactly.
But having that one pager, whether you're a small business or a small team, it's still just as powerful as if you're creating a whole strategic plan for an entire organization.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, I was working with somebody a couple weeks ago. He's responsible for 11,000 employees. So I called what you created, I call that your North Star.
Yeah.
So when the tempests are driving you in a different direction, the wind is blowing, the snow is blowing, the rain is coming, you actually can say, oh, but this is where we're going. Oh yeah, this is what I'm focused on. And you don't, all you have to do is glance at it. You don't have to like scroll through 10 pages and go, hey, you know, what did we say we were going to do this year?
Well, and you need that daily reminder, don't you? Having that visual actually allows you to cement it, internalize it daily versus trying to have to pull it out of the drawer and be like, all right, page 10, how's what I'm looking for, I think.
Yeah. And as businesses, as a small team or working together with other people, even if it's a partnership or on a board like that, you can come back to it and go, hey, is this aligned with what we thought we were going to do? And that's the kind of focus I'm talking about, that kind of discipline. It's extraordinary because all of a sudden you can let go of all the stuff that doesn't fit.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Well, and I will tell for the people in our community, I visited Chris in her office and you showed me yours, right? You have it on your wall. And I was so excited for you and so jealous that I didn't have that on my wall. And we're going to need to talk later about making that happen. Because I was like, oh, I want that because it was just, you know, and I will say as the person looking at your visual strategic illustration, I got where you were headed. I got what you were doing. I got what you were not doing in a way that I don't think I could have had we just been sitting across the table having a conversation.
No, exactly. Yeah. It just, I mean, because of the imagery and the word anchors, that combination, it people can begin to interpret for themselves. So like you weren't there when we created it, but you can start interpreting and that's how you get it.
Yeah.
I mean, you start looking at, and there's a natural flow and the way we look at things and we're like, oh yeah, and that goes together. Ooh, tell me more about that. And then you can pick up the things that you want to talk about. So let me just riff on this whole customer focus piece of this, because I've had some extraordinary opportunities to work with businesses, startups that ended up going very, very big, where we sat down and we said, how do we create a process that is really customer focused, where we can get a bunch of intelligence about what our customers want and then meet their needs in the marketplace? And when we did that, people, there are two things that happened. The first thing was that those clients or those customers, they were taking through the process, they couldn't shut up. They loved the whole idea that their ideas were on this big wall and, you know, somebody really cared about them and their focus. And so it really provided my client a lot of business intelligence and a super sweet spot to be able to meet their needs. The other thing was that not only did they not shut up, they wanted to keep telling their story, but they didn't want to leave. And they wanted to own the artifact. So the thing that was great was that they went back to business leaders in their business and said, hey, look, this is the conversation we had. We identified these gaps. Here's how we're moving forward. That conversation takes 3 minutes, not, you know, a status update plus 25 minutes and then like read this document ahead of time. It just is super fast. It's fun to look at. I can ask a question about a certain part that is relevant to me and the rest of it, I'm like, yeah, get it.
You know, Chris, I have so many ideas in my head swimming. Part of it because, you know, as you know, I spent 20 plus years, right, doing new product development for these companies, Fortune 500 companies, and we'd always do focus group and ethnographies, and that's all. I don't like focus groups, and that's a whole nother podcast conversation. I think But how awesome would it have been is instead of doing that, we did this approach and actually visually pulled the ideas out of people, because that's the biggest challenge is how do you really get to the product or service that they need, not just today, but tomorrow, versus just getting a yay or nay on something that you think may or may not be right. You know, I mean, there are just so many, for those listening, there's so many applications out there to leverage the visual strategy and the power of it.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think that what I've seen, especially in the past couple of years, as people are doing more innovative thinking and using different design thinking principles and strategies to get to customers. So this switch, this massive switch, especially with, you know, multinationals or big Fortune 1000 companies, all of a sudden they're saying, we don't know what's right for the customers. We have to turn this ship and get very customer focused. And then if you have the patience and the willpower to just sit on your hands, ask them a couple of really good questions and then ask them to draw it, or you have a visual person in the room.
So cool.
Yeah, or just have three people go up to a flip chart and say, you know, we're trying to meet this need. Number one, is the need real? Number two, could you draw what it looks like? And people will do it. They're like, yeah, it's a square with like two holes and I don't know, viewfinder.
Well, and you can edit it, right? It's not like it's set in stone. That's the beauty of it. It's not, you know, oh, we got it wrong, we're done. And I will say for, again, for those listening, years ago now, I did a little mini keynote for a party that you threw, and we have someone behind me drawing what I was saying. So they had really no notice up front what I was talking about. I think I talked to them for 10 minutes before I went on stage, and they nailed it. Like, it was incredible to see this thing come to life behind me. And then the concepts I talked about lived on through the party because it was all there, which was just coolest. So it's not like you have to have prep and planning to get the drawing right. It kind of flows, right? When you say that, like, it just kind of flows and you evolve it.
Yeah. And I would say that, yes, absolutely. It does flow. The 10 minutes that you used to brief the illustrator on your drawing, it was actually critical though, because, and that's where I really differentiate between what would be known as more traditional graphic recording and strategic illustration. So as your vendor, I want to make sure that your needs are 100% or 120% met. So if you and I can talk ahead of time and say, you know, are you going to tell a story? What are the key messages? Is there anything you want me to feature and highlight? And when we do that with our customers, when we do that in our business, all of a sudden we're embedding strategy in the work we do. So the strategy part comes really easily. So I have this client who has a small vineyard in Oregon, and he hates strategic planning. And we went through it took me years to convince him, like, just give me 90 minutes and a white sheet of paper and it will change your life. And he was like, right.
I take it all back. Here's a bottle of wine.
yeah, exactly. But I think that that's the thing, is that we can really talk about strategy, not in the old traditional boring, oh my God, this takes 5 years way.
And it's so painful and nobody listens to my ideas anyway. And I mean, it kind of democratizes it a little bit, doesn't it? Because everybody's getting input into the drawing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And everybody can, like I was saying earlier, everybody can build on the imagery that starts emerging there. Yeah. And if somebody comes out with, you know, a red herring, you can draw a little fish that's red and be like, hey, red herring, you know, and the people are like, hey man, that's my red herring.
I love it.
People feel really validated. They feel heard. And by default, they're bought in. Even if their idea isn't the final idea that gets executed on.
Right. But they were part of getting it to that place. So you work with a lot of different types of clients who in a lot of different industries. So talk to me a little bit about what do they need when they pick up the phone and call you? What are they looking for you to solve or help them with?
Yeah, so when people call us, they call us with a couple, I really love this question. They come us with a couple of things. The first one is they're looking for clarity. They're like, you know, either the marketplace or our product line or our customer, like, we cannot make heads or tails of something. Can you help us clarify? And a visual really does that, because what keeps, so as a visual practitioner, I'm constantly listening for for patterns that keep coming up, that keep surfacing. Mm-hmm. So it may not be actual words, but it's like, a good example would be, we really need to take this product line down so we can grow this other product. And then somebody else says, why are we putting all our money over here when actually we should put it over here?
So there's this battle of like, what do we do? Which one do we focus on and which one do we get rid of?
Right. And the visual actually brings that clarity, and all the stuff that distracts us in business, in our head, kind of falls to the wayside. So people are looking for clarity. The other thing is they're looking for perspective. So the great thing about being a neutral third-party facilitator is I don't have, a horse in the race. I'm not trying to jockey for position. I'm not trying to override my colleagues. I'm not trying to put an idea forward. I'm just like, okay, let's create an open platform where you guys can hear each other, experience each other, understand where each other's coming from, so we can get aligned. And that perspective is really helpful for a lot of clients. The last thing is I really, especially over the past couple of years, people are looking for a visual partner, not just a thinking partner, but a visual partner that can quickly sketch out what they're trying to say. So imagine myself as a leader of a small company or an MD of a big affiliate, and I'm trying to figure out, number one, my own message, and number two, how to make it palatable to other people. So if I can draw it and say, okay, you know, this is the story you told me, and here's how we're thinking about it. He's like, okay, how can we get this in front of my group so that we can make it even better?
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that that's the pain is really that clarity piece. I'm looking for perspective because the marketplace is so volatile and uncertain, and that I'm looking for somebody to help me figure out how to communicate it. So whether it's a key message or a storyline or some kind of visual that sets the stage for the next thing, that's what they're looking for.
So I'm curious, because I'm so bought into what you do because I've seen it, but what are some of the objections you get, whether that's the person buying from you, hiring you, or the people in the room? Because, you know, I mean, coming from the innovation space, I get a lot of the crossed arms, like, wow me, there's nothing you can say that's going to get me out of my box, right? Yeah. So like, I see it all the time. You must get it because it's so creative what you do. So what are those objections?
So a big objection is that a lot of what we do at Arla Soul and that I've been doing for, you know, almost 20 years is it's really experience-based. And so that is definitely a barrier because if people haven't had the experience, number one, they're like, I mean, it's any kind of additive value. They're like, ooh, that's expensive. Like, is it really going to be worth it? What's the ROI?
Yeah.
And so that, typically when somebody calls me and they don't know what we do, if they're not referred by somebody who is a trusted ally, and if they've never had the experience, it becomes very difficult, you know.
You're skeptical.
And we start doing some deal making. In the room, my favorite people in the room, my favorite skeptics, honestly, are engineers. Because they're like, I don't need a drawing. Like, I just got a bunch of good ideas. I need to get it out. Like,
I need a list.
Well, but here's the thing that's so great about engineers. They're super visual. So I'm like, okay, can you draw it? They're like, well, what do you mean? I was like, that's a great idea, but we're not getting to the essence of it. We're not getting to the core. And so you know what? They don't hesitate. And if it's a chalkboard, even better. They go up there and they start, you know, it's like this in the middle, and then it's got a bunch of cogs over here, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden everybody's like, like, look what you're doing. You have just created something. They're like, that's how I think. It's like, yes, that's exactly what
exactly. Nailed it.
Exactly. And they become huge converts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're like, oh, I didn't realize this was kind of mind mapping only with pictures. Yeah.
Yes.
A group. So yeah, you're absolutely right there. And it isn't for everybody.
Yeah. Who is it not for then?
It's really individual. I think, you know, what we've seen over the past 5 years is the trend, and the millennials are helping my business a lot in the sense that, you know, the data out there on millennials is that if they have discretionary revenue, 9 times out of 10, they will purchase an experience over a product. Mm-hmm. And so if we're looking for ways to bridge some of the generation gap or the understanding gap in business, by being able to provide an experience at relatively low cost to the number of people that are in the room, get people to share their ideas, create an open platform for idea exchange,
yeah,
it's totally worth it. You know, so but back to your question about who it's not for, it may not be for people who are very traditional manufacturing that aren't in a lot of, you know, hurt. They don't have a lot of pain, or marketplace isn't being genuinely impacted. So without calling out groups, I'll call out a couple, like utilities.
Yeah.
So utilities are going through a major transformation, and at the same time, somebody's always looking to turn on the lights.
Right.
So it's not like they're losing customers. It's just that the dynamics under which they sell their product is changing.
Yeah, got it. It does take a little more of an open mind, although it's funny. I agree with that. And on the other hand, those are the businesses in a lot of ways that need it the most, because while they stay the same, somebody else is shaking it up and they just don't know it yet.
Absolutely. So when we have these, you know, in the UK, there's these transition towns. So back to the utility folks, these transition towns who are like, you know, we're going to exchange the solar in the next community for the dairy in our community, and we don't need you.
Right.
And they're like, what?
Call Chris.
You have to need us.
So how can I add more visual? Do you prefer to call it visual innovation or visual strategy, or does it matter?
I think there isn't a good, there's a whole bunch of words around this kind of practice. And so I think it's whatever works for you. I mean, strategy implies that there's a plan, but pictures and visuals, that's like individual.
Yeah.
You know, so it just depends on, what you're most comfortable with.
So how can I, if I'm in the community listening and watching, how can I build more visual strategy, visual innovation into my daily work world? And whether I'm an entrepreneur or entrepreneur, how do I I'm bought in now, right? So how do I do more of it?
Well, I think there's a couple things you can do right off the bat. The first thing is that if you're in a leadership role or some kind of organizing role and you have people that you're going to meet with, whether it's customers or whether it's a team members, is pull out a flip chart, get two different color markers, make sure that they are not all dried out so we can actually read them, make sure they're dark, you know, so we can actually read it. And then use a couple of icons to map out your agenda. So maybe one's a star and one is like a little a cross, you know, but alternate the colors, because here's what we know about the brain. The brain likes variety. The brain likes ways to be stimulated. And so alternating colors conveys two things to the brain. Number one, there is a pattern here. Number two, it's different. Maybe that means something. I should probably pay attention. You know, so that's like a super easy thing that you can do. The other thing that I really encourage people to do, and I was thinking about this, you know, when getting ready for this podcast, is if you're stuck. So when I get stuck and I have an idea and I can't take it to the next level, I'm building an agenda with a client and we're like, I don't know what to do after that. I take little sticky notes and a black marker. This is made by one of our preferred vendors, Neuland.com, Neuland.com. We'll give that to you later.
Yeah.
But a black permanent marker, right? Because you have to commit. You have to commit to the drawing. But take those little post-it notes and start telling your story one kind of action at a time on post-it notes and put it in on a window or a mirror or in a table in front of you. And then go get a colleague, go get your kid. Kids are great because they totally see through all the distraction. Or go get a friend and say, hey, can I run this by you? Because this is where I'm getting stuck. Maybe you can help me push through. And all of a sudden, your little story, your little agenda, your plan for growing your business is all mapped out there in a storyboard. And as you tell the story, people can ask questions. And then somebody can say, do you really need that sticky note? You'd be like, well, what do you mean? That's my story. It's like, but yeah, but if you combine this sticky note that's in the second position with the fourth one, don't you do that anyway? All of a sudden you start seeing things and new ways of thinking, innovation, starts emerging. And I have never had it fail. When I actually take the 10 minutes that's required to do that and not a lot of expense. And I usually do it, you know, on the wall so that I can actually move things around. All of a sudden I start seeing things I didn't see before and new ways to get unstuck. And that is super easy. Stick figures are totally welcome. Try and use as little words as possible, but it's a great way to practice, you know, what am I doing here? Where am I going? And how do I get to the next step?
That's so cool. And, you know, a thought was kind of going through my head as you were talking, which is, this seems to me also like a great reason to engage you and your work would be also because I'm a leader and I feel like my team's not getting it, right? Like they're not quite on the right path. They're not seeing the vision of where we're headed. Yes, we built a plan of some kind, whatever that looks like, probably some kind of PowerPoint deck. And, you know, they're making the decisions that don't seem to fit our plan. This seems like a great way visual to get them off that deck and into like really understanding and kind of to your point, buying in. So I'm going to loop that over to your book because I want to talk a little bit about it, not just where to get it, but what would someone get out of buying your book? What am I going to learn from that?
So there's really, the book is kind of organized in three sections and this is what you get. The first one is, why should I use this? Why should I use a visual strategy to picture my business strategy? And so it really looks kind of macro and globally. Why this and why now? Why now of all the times that we're in, does it make more sense to use pictures? So that's the first thing you're going to get. The second thing is three very simple principles to organize a visual process around. The first one's picture and outcome. So if you free your mind up to actually visualize, dream, you talk a lot about dreaming, you know, at a Launch Street. So dream about what that thing might be and visualize what that is. Then a lot of the things that might be distracting you from that outcome, from that dream, suddenly they become not as important, not irrelevant, but sometimes irrelevant. Mm-hmm. And so when we picture the outcome, then immediately our human condition says, oh, but wait, there's a lot of things that are in my way. There's a lot of reasons I can't get that.
Obstacles first.
Right, right. So the second thing is capture the complexity. So put a bit, you know, take a big sheet of paper, put a bunch of sticky notes, draw it yourself, have your team get together, whatever it is, but talk about all the things that are getting in the way of you achieving that outcome. And when you do that, it's messy, but you can start taking a big red marker and circling the things that don't matter and putting a big X through them, you know, because some of those things we can't control.
Yeah. And isn't it, I find it so gratifying to get down on paper, particularly in a visual fashion, all the things that I think are holding me back or obstacles in my way, and then actually crossing them out. There's something about releasing it. I know that sounds very woo-woo, but it really works. And I think sometimes we find those obstacles that some of them are real and we've got to draw out what the strategy is to overcome of, and then some of them are just in our head.
Right. And so once you capture that complexity and you actually call it out and pull it forward, you're going to identify things you can, like really quick wins you can overcome very quickly. The things that you just said that are holding us back that for some reason we have an attachment to,
yeah.
But we go through a symbolic gesture. Yeah. Saying, you are free to go. You're free to leave.
Goodbye.
Exactly. And what happens when, and then there's longer term things that you can actually start building a strategy around. But when you contain or capture that complexity, it actually frees up some space. Like visually on the map, all of a sudden you have like some white space. You have places where you've marked through. It's like, wow, we don't have anything there. And so it allows you the space to actually create possibilities. And to me, that's the innovation space. So I'm going to take something that is very familiar and comfortable to me, and I'm going to understand what's holding me back. And then I'm going to repurpose that thing into something new to create an even better product, an even better service in the marketplace. So that's the second chunk of the book, because there's a lot of good tips, tricks, a whole process that helps you picture an outcome. So if you can do that by yourself, you can capture the complexity and you can create the possibilities. When you do those three things together, there's something that's really kind of alchemical in that process. So look at it as a triangle. I have an outcome, I understand the complexity, and I also understand what my new possibilities are. So visually, it's like throwing fuel on a fire. All of a sudden, it becomes super clear what the next thing is. Like, I need to do bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
And I have never seen that work in a traditional planning process that includes a lot of verbiage, a lot of words, a lot of fighting over what the right word is and desperately trying to crank out those solutions.
Yeah.
All of a sudden solutions are right there. So that's a nice container for that second part of the book.
So I will put the link to the book in the show notes so that people don't have to try to remember it if they're driving or watching this at work, whatever, and they can go on and buy it. Because it's a great book. I highly recommend it. I use it all the time. I'm curious, what are some of the things that clients tell you they've gotten out of the experience of either working with you or learning to do it themselves and implementing in their work?
Right. So one of the first experiences I had very, very early in my career, I was just in the facilitator role. I wasn't in the visual role, is I had a client as part of a leadership program with other businesses have their story graphically captured as they were looking at doing something around corporate social responsibility. And they had come up with a plan and they were presenting this plan, and then the plan was given back to them in the form of a visual capture. And 2 weeks later, that client called and said, you know what, we're gonna honor our 2-year commitment for this leadership development program, but we're not coming back. And I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean you're not coming back?
So
like, we don't need it. We got everything we needed in that visual. We have a 10-year plan in that visual. I was like, oh,
what?
This right
hand, what?
Exactly. So people were like, you know, not only are we going to fulfill our financial commitment, but we're not going to send people because we're going to be busy doing our stuff. We're going to be doing what we want to do. And I was like, oh my God, this totally helps. So, so for me, that just created this huge conversion. And on top of that, is I hear that all the time from clients. Number one, we got way more out of this experience. You know, look at this. This is like 10 years. We only asked for 3. We've got like a long range strategy that's coming out of this. And that's because it creates this kind of openness. I think the other thing is going back to what people need. When people say, I need to get clear, I need some clarity on an issue or what's holding us back, they get that. And all of a sudden it's super transparent and obvious what they need to do to fix that. And so that's like, we have such a, especially in the West, but I think business people in general, whether it's a startup or, you know, a big Fortune 500, we have such a bias toward execution. So we're just looking at getting things done. And I think that's why root problem analysis or root cause analysis has been so popular, because people are like, I'm going to get to the root of this. Well, you know what? Sometimes that doesn't always work because the world changes. Yeah. You will get to the root of whatever you need to do by doing something visual. And so that's been what, you know, people are super gratified on that. And then the last thing is on the buy-in. Like, it was a way to engage everybody. People really felt heard. This problem child over here, she was giving me a lot of grief for the past 5 years. And I don't, she knows exactly what she needs to do and when she needs to do it and why.
I think that's one of the most powerful things that you provide. And one of the things that I see organizations unravel around if they don't have it. Because to your point earlier, people need to feel heard. They need to feel a part of the process. And, you know, it's okay if their ideas isn't the one that moves forward, if they're heard and a part of the process and they understand why and they have something to anchor themselves in. But I don't think we give enough time on the buy-in side of it. I think to your point about moving to solution and execution, we're so busy saying, don't you get it? This is what we're doing. When as leaders, if we just took a little more time to focus on buy-in, it'd save us so much more time on the back end, but we're too busy trying to get to the back end.
Right, right. No, exactly. I mean, one of the questions that you gave me a little bit earlier was, you know, what are some of the recommendations for people in our community? And I would say a great way to approach the conundrum that you just talked about, when I have a plan, I know how to solve this problem. And if you just do what I tell you to do, then it'll be fine.
Right? Isn't it obvious?
Exactly. So one of the benefits of working visually, and one of the recommendations I would make to our community, is just don't get too attached to your process, your outcome about getting to how things can get done, because there somebody might have a brilliant way to take sticky note A and sticky note Z and put them together and go, we can get there this fast. And isn't that the kind of solution that we're looking for? Put something that somebody's bought into and a way to build on all the work that we've done previously that gets us to the sale, gets us to the revenue, whatever it is, faster.
You know, one of the things that I talk a lot, or one example I should say that I give in my keynotes with this exercise that I have everybody do, is that there's, when you look around the room at completing this challenge that I ask them to do, everybody does it in a different way, or every team does it in a different way. And it allows me to bring up the point with innovation that it's not always the right way, the only way. There's a lot of right ways to get something done, and then you got to figure it out from there. And I think your visual strategy and the innovation that that brings allows you to see that, all right, we were thinking A made a lot of sense, but now that we've explored the entire alphabet, because everybody's had perspective, we see that it's actually L and T put together, and that's the way to do it. And where the alphabet thing came from, I'm not really sure. It's something you said. It felt right in the moment.
but it's taking that sequential, that left-brain thinking, that spreadsheet thinking, you know, 1, 2, 3, there's a hierarchy, whatever it is. And sometimes it's like A and 4 go together. Like, you know, I mean,
that's okay.
Exactly. That right brain really frees us up. And when we're doodling, when we're drawing together, when you have a group of people up at a wall and they're drawing together, to me, that's when the real magic happens, because people start making those sort of randomized connections and they'll look at each other and say, hey, I didn't know I could do this. I didn't know I could be visual. It's like, your brain starts processing things in ways that you don't typically see when you're just looking at a spreadsheet.
Yeah, I love it. So I want to ask you a personal question that I didn't prep you to go down this path on, but it's one of the things that I have always admired about you, and our last meeting at your office really cemented it for me. You are so good, I think, at engaging with someone or a team and understanding what they're saying, but then kind of digging and recognizing maybe they really need. Because to your point earlier, we don't always know what we're saying. We're not always clear. Sometimes we focus on the problem, but not the problem that caused the problem, or the thing over here that if we solved this would take the problem away. But you have an incredible gift of taking all of that garbly gook and pinpointing what really needs to be discussed or dealt with. How do you do that? Like, if you thought about your process, what does that look like?
Okay, so thank you, first of all. Actually,
I'm taking notes, hold on.
I've thought about this a lot, and I, So there's a couple things. I don't have a great answer for this, except that I can tell you where my thinking has gotten me this. Is that I think that it's about synthesis. And so as a, you know, I started out my professional career. I mean, I have a bunch of different hats that I wear, but one of them is teacher. So I worked with a bunch of kids up in the hills in Keystone, Colorado, teaching kids science outside. And one of the things that I, so from my teacher hat, is I really believe in explaining process and then being able to look in between that process for where either kids aren't getting it or people aren't getting it. So I think that that has actually helped, is to really slow down. I mean, you're very good at this in your keynoting. Slow down, explain the process so people can actually have the experience and then reflect on it later. So, and then filling in, how, like, what are people missing? But the real, I think the real gift that I have and what I look for in other people that I work with, the people that I would hire to work with me, is their capacity and their ability to listen and synthesize. So what I'm doing when we talk about that, when we get together and I say, oh, you know, like, let's chunk it down here, is I do have this uncanny ability to sort of synthesize and go, bing, you know, this kind of comes out. And I believe that my education experience actually really helped to support, hone, and build that. And I think we're losing kids. And, you know, as the educator in me, I have a real concern that because of the focus on technology and because of the focus on tests. So that's not a blaming thing, but that's just a reality.
That's where we've gone to.
Is that we're really losing the capacity to gather a bunch of input and be able to synthesize and say, you know, here are the top three things I saw on that, or can I check this with you? And so I really, visuals have helped me do that. So if you're a person that has to process big data or has to really make meaning out of a lot of different things, or you're working in a large company where you have to do business strategy, or you're an entrepreneur and you have like 10 different ideas, doing some visual work will help you synthesize and prioritize what really matters for you. But I think it's, I mean, I think it's a skill that you really have to pay attention to and develop, and listening is key, you know, because if you don't listen, then you have all the stuff that's going on in my head, and I am no different than anybody else. I have really strong opinions about things. I want to tell people how to do things my way. I really like that, you know, but if I just take my, I take a step back, and that's, you know, that's another thing I would recommend. If you're in a leadership role, try and draw what you're telling your team to do, because it will help you see the gaps that are inevitable there, because you're thinking about it by yourself.
Right.
It will give you something to talk to rather than talk at, and people can go, oh, wait, Chris, you missed this, you know, you missed this point. Like, are we going to do anything about that? And you're like, oh.
Oh, I didn't even say, and you can't think of everything, right? I mean, that's the irony of it. So that was very helpful. I mean, I think you're right. And I think we're all, when we're in the thick of it, have a hard time distilling, you know, the core of what we really need to deal with or focus on, because we're just too, you know, there's too many handcuffs. We've got too much chaos, too many distractions. But I think it's an incredible skill, and I love it. So I think you're really good at it. And I really like the idea of using visuals to deal with that with yourself and your team and work. And if you're an entrepreneur, to help you get through the jumble. I mean, I, when I do my roadmaps, I draw them, because if I don't draw them, I can't figure out what the hell I'm supposed to be doing, when, and what actually takes priority. Somehow, sticky notes and drawing, I take to heart kind of all your advice, then it becomes crystal clear.
Yeah, and it becomes a great thing to share and do with other people. That's the other thing, is that a lot of times we need to execute very quickly. We have a great market opportunity and we need to act on it now.
Yeah.
And so if you can visualize it, then people can start building on it and actually tearing it down if they need to figure out what's our position? Like, are we in a position to accelerate, right, you know, this product or this service, or to be able to roll this thing out? Or do we have to actually pull back because we're not ready?
Well, and I think for the people in our community who are more innovation-minded anyway, that's why they're here. This is such a great, it's almost a little bit of relief, like, oh, I can draw?
Exactly.
Thank God, because these PowerPoint slides and bullets are killing me.
Absolutely, yeah. They're killing all of us, too. Yeah. I mean, as a consumer of them, thank you.
Right.
Keep up, right. Yeah, please refrain.
Yeah, I love it. So where, if I wanted to reach out to you, learn more about what you do or engaging with you, where should I go?
So you can find me at a couple of places. My name, LinkedIn, I'm on Twitter, you can find me on Facebook. And then I actually, for my book, which is called Picture Your Business Strategy, Transform Decisions Through the Power of Visuals, you can go on Amazon or you can go to pictureyourstrategy.com. You can find me there. And then my consulting business is called Arlosol. So www.arlo, as in Guthrie, soul as in your soul, S-O-U-L, arlosol.com.
Now that word has meaning, so share that.
Yeah. So Arlosol is the Welsh word for innovation. And so one of the reasons that we looked at this word, you know, words and symbols make meaning.
Yeah.
That's the business that we're in. And so when we found that, we were like, yeah, we want people to visualize their own creativity, their own courage, their own innovation, and do it in an intelligent and fun and engaging way.
Oh, that's so cool. So what's the one thing our community would be surprised to know about you, that personal hobby, passion, experience?
Right. Well,
I'm ready to be shocked. I'm ready.
No, you won't be shocked. Well, the one that would shock you is, I spent a lot of years rock climbing. That would shock you. But what might shock the community is, I really cut my teeth in business as a pastry chef.
That shocks me too.
So I have a lot of cooking background. I've spent a lot of time in commercial, very high-end kitchens, and it remains a passion. And thank God I didn't go into that as a career, because I wouldn't love cooking as much as I do. But yeah.
I had no idea. Clearly you'll be having me over for dinner now.
Yeah, exactly.
You can do that.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, Chris, this has been amazing. What's kind of the one last piece of advice you have for everybody out there?
Well, I would just say, don't be afraid. I mean, that's so easy to say, it's much harder to do, but even if your drawings start super small and, you know, you're just like, oh, well, I want to show you something, but I don't know, holding it back. Just don't be afraid, because that first act of courage, that first stepping out, is the first way you start thinking and engaging differently. So you start thinking differently and you start engaging people in a different way.
And let's remember, none of us are artists. So unless you're talking to a specific designer, nobody's doing any better than you anyway. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. Absolutely. And like one other piece of advice to just support that whole idea is that there's been evidence that people respond in a more endearing and positive way when the drawings look crude and very amateurish.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden, where the audience says, oh my God, they drew something, I could never do that. All of a sudden, people are much more open to listening to you. They have more respect for you. And so that little step of courage will go a long way in convincing an investor, a potential client, a buyer that you're worth it, you know your stuff, and you're very adept at thinking creatively.
That is super cool, because the layer I would add to that kind of brings it all home for me, what you're saying is, when you draw something and an idea and you show it to someone in a really rough format, they're more willing to engage and think of how they could make it better. Where if you show them a drawing that's quote unquote perfect, rendered, they're going to give you an up or down vote. It's a yay or nay, and that's it. And we're going to nay it because we're humans. So I love that. It didn't even occur to me like people would actually be like, she knows her stuff. Look at that stick figure.
Exactly.
Thanks for hanging out with us inside Launch Street. When you're ready to take your game to the next level, join the thousands of others that are upping their innovation edge on GoToLaunchStreet.com, the top online education resource and community platform for innovators looking to use innovation to get measurable results. GoToLaunchStreet.com.